chips under the skin, invisible tattoos, world government, the Middle East peace agreement, earthquakes in diverse places, and much more in the headlines today. We will discuss the prophetic significance of these events on today's edition of End of the Age. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Dave Robbins with End Time Ministries. Thank you for joining me one more time on End of the Age. You know, there's so much going on in the news right now. I just had to kind of weed through it and pick out some things to talk about, the most important things. But I wanted to kind of center on some stuff today. You know, I've had a lot of people recently contact me concerning Bill Gates leading an effort to place a microchip under the skin in a vaccine. And also, you know, possibly being involved in retinal or in invisible tattoos and retinal scans and all kinds of stuff. So I did a little research into that. You know, Bill Gates was recently asked, how can businesses adapt to maintain to our economy while social distancing? And he said, well, eventually we'll have to have some digital certificates to show who has recovered from or who has been tested recently or when they have been got a vaccine and who has received it. So a lot of people took his digital certificate and said, oh, they, you know, there you go right there. He's calling for a chip under the skin and all kinds of stuff. I mean, I've received emails like you cannot imagine. So I looked into it a little bit, and I haven't been able to document that he was necessarily going to put a chip under your skin in a vaccine. There are people that have that on the internet, but not that I could really say, yes, for sure, that's going to happen. And I wanted to talk about that because there are a lot of people in America. I'm telling you, if you don't follow this stuff, you should be very thankful you live in the United States of America. There are thousands of people overseas that are already putting ID chips in their skin. And there are people that would be vulnerable enough in some countries that would probably allow them to do that. But here in the United States, people are resisting that. Now, I know there's a country up north, Wisconsin or someplace, that allowed them to put chips in their skin. But most people, I think, in this country, because some people are educated on some of this stuff, the prophecies of the Bible, that they would resist allowing them to put a chip under their skin or an invisible tattoo or something like that. So when Bill Gates is talking about this digital certificate and all this other stuff, if it was something on my skin, I don't care what happens, I wouldn't take that. And I'm going to get into that because I was able to kind of document some of what they might be involved in doing. But I don't think people here, at least I hope nobody here in the United States would allow them to do that. So in December 2019, just a few months ago, the Smithsonian Magazine, so pretty reputable source, they wrote an article, "This spiky patch could invisibly record vaccination histories under the skin." And this is where I think some people may have got that he was wanting to put, Bill Gates was wanting to put a chip under the skin in a vaccine or something like that. So the article from the Smithsonian said, but the technology raised several ethical concerns that could stymie its progress. And it says that a team led by MIT scientists has come forward with a bold proposition that could write a legible vaccination history back into the body's repertoire, solving medicine's record-keeping riddle. And they argued that it might just involve injecting patterns of invisible nanoparticles under the skin. Okay, right there. That's not going to happen to Dave Robbins. I can tell you that right now. No mark of identification on my person and no pledge of allegiance to a world governing leader or the Antichrist. That's the mark of the beast. So, or it's something that could lead to that. That's not going to happen with me. That's a line in the sand. I'm not going to cross that. So it goes on to say that a schematic showing how a new product could encode a person's vaccination history without the need for medical records. A microneedle patch delivers fluorescent nanoparticles beneath the skin. It's like this rubberized type of patch with a bunch of needles that sticks out. They push it on your skin. And it leaves a pattern that can be visualized with a smartphone. You take a smartphone, rub a smartphone over it, and that it can be detected by an infrared light. And you've got your medical records on your skin. So they said that figuring out how to keep better track of vaccination is incredibly important from a health systems and public health perspective. This was from Johns Hopkins University, a bio thesis that from Nancy Koss, who wasn't involved in a project. She said, but injectable nanoparticles that reveal private information about a patient could be ripe for misinterpretations and rumors. Well, I can tell you right now, I wouldn't do that. Irvin Baxter wouldn't do that. And I hope you wouldn't do something like that. Two things you should never do. No mark of identification, no pledge of allegiance.
I have left a piece of my heart in Israel and her people. We would like to thank End Time for doing such an awesome job with our Israel tour. We marvel at your team keeping the time schedule, keeping everyone comfortable, the wonderful driver, the brilliant guide, the entire tour program, good hotel choices, and stellar food. We had the privilege to rub shoulders with Pastor Baxter, listen to his current teachings, and had some interesting questions answered so eloquently. He is wonderful. Helene from Australia.
Experience the Holy Land in the most amazing way. Join Irvin and Judy Baxter for our upcoming Israel tour. For more information, go to endtime.com or call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463.
We've seen Bible prophecy fulfilled like never before. From the halls of the United Nations to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, End Time Ministries continues to reveal the Bible prophecy in the news headlines around the world every day. Whether it's through our broadcast or online at our Jerusalem Prophecy College, your gifts enable us to put vital materials in the hands of those who need it most. Because of you, we continue to replace fear with faith. In the hearts of Christians around the world, we will continue to see prophecy come to pass at an even swifter pace. We need your support. Your donation of any amount enables us to continue to broadcast and be a voice in the ever-growing censored media. To become a partner or give a one-time gift, visit endtime.com or call 1-800-END-TIME right now. That's 800-363-8463. Go online now. Visit endtime.com.
I'm going to get back into this real quick, but I got to make an announcement. We've got a prophecy conference that was scheduled for this coming weekend, April 5th. And I wanted to make sure that you knew it's in South Lake, Texas, that conference has been postponed, obviously because of this coronavirus situation and the, everybody's kind of in quarantine. And so we want to make sure that you know that that conference has been postponed this weekend in South Lake, Texas, that Irvin Baxter was going to be at. Now, along with this article, now this might be where some of you got that this chip would be placed under the skin and things like that. Everybody's becoming very alarmed. This article talking about this technology where they would stick these little nanoparticles under your skin and leave a like kind of like an almost invisible tattoo that you could read with a smartphone. Well, the article from the Smithsonian said that with similar concerns in mind, researchers led by bioengineers Robert Langer and Anna Jaklinek, they are preparing to conduct surveys to assess whether the invisible tattoos would be acceptable by locals in high priority regions. And then it says, backed by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, interviews in Malawi, Bangladesh, Benin, and Kenya will be early next year. So what they'll do is they'll go into some of these countries over there that have real bad problems and they need vaccines and things like that. And they'll say, well, you know, and I also read that ID 2020, which is a numbering effort by the United Nations with many leading companies in the tech field, that they are actually using vaccines to leverage numbering systems and things like that overseas. So it's really become a mess. Some of these people are going to be using these numbering systems to leverage people to get vaccines and all this kind of stuff. And so, you know, I don't know how much it appears that the Bill Gates and them are all very heavily involved. Microsoft is one of the leading companies that's involved in ID 2020. But a lot of people were asking me, you know, what are you guys going to do if Bill Gates comes along with a chip and a vaccine and you guys are asked to vaccine with this chip and this, that, and the other? That's not going to happen for us. I can tell you right now. That's too close to leaning towards a Mark of the Beast type thing. I will never, ever take a mark of identification on my person, ever. And I will never pledge allegiance to, thereby worshiping the Antichrist or his one world governing system. Now, you say, well, why earlier in the program did you say we ought to be very thankful to live here in America? Well, I don't know if you knew this or not, but there are states with laws against microchipping. Did you know that? So the prophecy, Revelation 13, 16 through 17 says, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So again, two things you should never do. Mark of identification, pledge of allegiance. Can't do that. That's taking the mark of the beast. And that's why I said I think there are a lot of people here in the United States that would resist that. Because when you say Mark of the Beast, almost everybody I've ever talked to in my life know that it has something to do with taking a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. And so they would never do that. But then I hear about this company, I think it was up in Wisconsin, maybe Minnesota, one of the two, where they had this chip party, and they called it a chips and salsa party, and these guys were putting chips in their hand to open doors and run Bluetooths and all this kind of stuff. Folks, that's getting too close to it. I don't know if I'd do that or not. Well, as a matter of fact, I know I wouldn't do it, but I'm saying if these people were educated on this stuff, they wouldn't. But when I started studying a little bit of this stuff, I didn't know this until about a week or two ago, that there are states that have laws that say, nah, businesses are not allowed to require people to chip. Now, what happened? Well, February 2020, I read an article from the Des Moines, Iowa Register. It said that businesses could not require microchip implants for employees under an Iowa House bill. You say, man, I'm going to move to Iowa, right? Because it says that Iowa would join a handful of states that ban companies from requiring employees to get microchip implants if a bill that passed through the State House subcommittee Wednesday became a law. This was back in February, just about a little over a month ago. It says Representative Stephen Holt, who's a Republican from Denison, said that he introduced House File 580 over concerns about the increased use of microchip implants across the country. He said he's not aware of any businesses in Iowa that use them, but he sees the proposed legislation as a preventative measure to ensure rights are not breached. He said, I believe it's coming. With technology the way it is, it's a matter of time. So if it was signed into law, Iowa would allow employees to voluntarily agree to take an implant, which I would never do, which could then be used like a company badge. But it would ban employers from offering special privileges and incentives to those who opt in to such a security measure. And then he said, and this is so important, he said, I want to start the discussion because it's concerning to me. He said, you have a constitutional right to decide whether a microchip is put into your body or not. Now, did you catch that? Now, I would much rather be living in a country that has people that are concerned about this and passing laws against companies forcing you to do it than I would be in a country that says, hey, we're going to be on the leading edge of this stuff and we're going to force people to do it and this, that, and the other for means of identification. It's just one more reason why I love the good old United States of America. You see, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved microchip implants for humans back in 2004. And since then, several states have voted to ban mandatory chipping in some form. And among them is California, Missouri, North Dakota, Oklahoma, and Wisconsin. I was hoping Texas would have been in there, but I didn't see it. And what he said was, he said, we think this is a good way to make sure the government in particular doesn't require people to have a chip implanted. Now, these are lawmakers, folks. And they're concerned about the government implanting chips in people. And man, am I thankful for that. So, if you think about it like that, and then you say, well, I've heard in the internet, because if the internet says it, it's got to be right, right? I've heard in the internet where Bill Gates is going to have a vaccine that's going to have a chip and he's going to implant it in you. Okay, I haven't seen that. And with these laws on the books, do you think something like that would pass? I highly doubt it. But also MarketWatch said that states are cracking down on companies microchipping their employees. How common is it? Well, some businesses have said that they let employees implant microchips to get media attention. Obviously, the salsa chips and salsa company, or the party that they had up here, they got notoriety nationwide. And it said that a pending Indiana bill wants to ensure that no one is ever forced to have an implanted microchip. There are already 11 similar laws by one account. Indiana is a step closer to forbidding companies from forcing workers to implant microchips in their bodies, following a House of Representatives' unanimously passage of a bill that could make it the 12th state with such a law. And they said not at all, said the experts on the workforce law and technology who worry the rice-sized microchips can open up massive questions about worker privacy and company surveillance. So, man, am I thankful to live in America where there are laws being passed where your company can't force you to be ID'd? Absolutely I am. And it all ties into a global ID system. Global national IDs are not a good thing. They are a bad thing. The only reason you number people is to control them. That's it. I mean, consider Adolf Hitler and the numbering of the Jews in the Holocaust. They only numbered them to control them. We've written articles and things on it. When you go to the Holocaust Museum in Israel, there's a big, huge section about the numbering of the Jews to control them and what they did if you had certain numbers or if you didn't get a number. I mean, it was not good. And so governments that trying to place national IDs on people, it's not a good thing. And it's happening globally. Most nations already have a compulsory national ID system. It's not voluntary. You want to function in that country, you got to have a national ID. And it's a numbering system, a global numbering system, that could eventually lead to the mark of the beast. The Bible says the whole world's going to be given a numbering system. And the Antichrist is eventually going to economically sanction people in so much that if you don't have the number, you wouldn't be able to function in society. Well, that's happening in a lot of nations nowadays. And then Law 360, they reported that who are you without an ID? There are among, now this gets into ID 2020 and WD-40 by the World Bank, their efforts to number every human being. They say that among the 1 billion people across the globe who face challenges in proving that they are who they are because of the lack of official proof of their identity, especially these people that were migrating around, I mean, in war-torn, let's say, Syria, they might migrate into Europe, then they have no way to prove who they are. So they're saying we need to give them some kind of an ID. Well, as a result, they struggle. These people, when they go into Europe, they struggle to access basic services, including healthcare, education, as well as obtaining a cell phone. You can live without a cell phone. At least most of us could. Using a bank card, finding a job, according to the World Bank, which gathered the data as part of its Identification for Development Initiative, ID4D. Guess it's ID40, not WD40. And then citizens may also not be able to access justice through their country's civil and criminal justice systems when they lack an ID. And while IDs may be taken for granted in developed countries, they are connected to nearly every facet of life. Without an ID, in many countries, you are invisible. You don't exist in the eyes of the state. And according to the World Bank, everyone in the United States already has legal identity in this big grand scheme of numbering that they have. You say, well, what's that? It's either your Social Security card or the number that they'll tie in with the real ID. You say, oh, man, they're going to implement the mark of the beast here in the United States. Actually, we don't believe that they will, because the United States is not going to be part of the world government in the end time, according to the prophecies of the Bible. That's another reason why I'm so thankful to live in the United States of America. We're going to pull out of the world government, stand against that, stand with and protect Israel all throughout the end time. And so I just wanted to talk to you about this today, because it looks like a lot of people have been calling me about this Bill Gates situation, and they're, you know, people are fearful about that. Well, the fact of the matter is that I don't think it's going to happen here in America. I know that I wouldn't do it. But there are, that's why I tied in the states with laws against companies forcing their people to have a chip put in them. And possibly somebody said that Bill Gates had a shot that, or a vaccine that he could give you that had a chip in it. I don't see that ever being mandated here in the United States. I think there are too many lawmakers that are diametrically opposed to that. Plus, I don't see the mark of the beast being implemented here in the United States, because we're not part of the world government in the end time. It's not going to become a law of the land. So I know you guys, a lot of people are leery of that, and we wanted to talk about it because I wanted to kind of give you a reassurance. Now, you say, well, what happens if I live in Australia or in New Zealand or in Germany or something like that? Well, that's something you're going to have to consider. And that's why we always say, every time we do one of these programs, no, I don't care where you're at in the world, don't ever take a mark of identification on your person, and never. I always tell you about my missionary friend that lives in Germany. I'm not going to tell you his name, but I got a very, very good friend, been a follower of End Time Ministries for years. Matter of fact, we were supposed to do some conferences for him when we went on our tour this year on the European leg, but we had to cancel all of that because of this coronavirus stuff. But I've talked to him about it, and obviously he's dead set against doing any of this kind of stuff. But he's kind of almost like right there in the belly of the beast. I mean, right there in Europe, and Germany's kind of been a central figure in that for, you know, decades now. But he's all in. He's saying, I'll resist it. I don't care what happens. I'm going to resist. Well, that's kind of the attitude you need to have going into the end time. And you might say, well, Dave, that's kind of radical. You're going to have to get a little radical on some of this stuff. There may be a time when you got to tell the government, no, I can't do that. And take a stand. Draw a line in the sand and say, can't go past this. Because when you talk about eternal consequence, that's something you can't mess with. That's not a decision you take lightly. And so we need to be educated on these things and make sure we know what's coming down. That's why a lot of times they'll try to implement these things in underdeveloped, undereducated countries where they can go in there and say, do this, and the people are like, okay. And I feel sorry for them people. That's not something that they should be doing, but some of them are destitute. And, you know, it's really a bad situation. But anyway, I wanted to report on that today because you guys kind of need to know what's going on. There are states here that have passed laws it's against the law for them to microchip their people. So go USA is all I'm going to say. Now, let me shift gears on you and get into a little bit of world government. Bible prophesies a world government in the end time. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1 through 8 deals with the world government and the leader of that world government, the eventual Antichrist. Well, we know that a world government has been being established for decades now. I mean, we're really at the culmination of it. It will be the Six Trumpet War is going to be kind of like an entrance ramp for that. And after the Six Trumpet War, 1/3 of the world's population is going to be destroyed. The cry for a global system to keep a world war from ever happening again is going to be deafening. And so it's going to be an entrance ramp for the Antichrist to come on the scene. And that's what's coming up very soon now. Well, this world government has been being established for a long, long time. It really was started in prior to 1945, but the United Nations Charter was penned in 1945 and signed in San Francisco. And that's the effort towards a world government in the earth today. The United Nations is the seat of that world government in the earth. And eventually they will get teeth. They don't have the enforcement methods they do now, but eventually they will grow those teeth, I promise you. And the Antichrist will eventually usurp authority over that. So I tell you what, we're coming up to a break. When we get back from the break, we'll touch on world government, and then we'll get into a lot of different subjects. I'm going to go as rapidly as I can and talk about many different things throughout the rest of the program. So stay with me. I got a lot to cover yet.
Move Mountains with Irvin Baxter. This book by Irvin's grandson provides 30 days of devotion that will enhance your relationship with God and others. Authentic illustrations from early morning devotions at end time will help you find your purpose and eliminate fears. Commit to taking this 30-day journey and experience real life change. Get your book for only $14.99. Call 1-800-363-8463 or go to endtime.com/move.
I have left a piece of my heart in Israel and her people. We would like to thank End Time for doing such an awesome job with our Israel tour. We marvel at your team keeping the time schedule, keeping everyone comfortable, the wonderful driver, the brilliant guide, the entire tour program, good hotel choices, and stellar food. We had the privilege to rub shoulders with Pastor Baxter, listen to his current teachings, and had some interesting questions answered so eloquently. He is wonderful. Helene from Australia.
Experience the Holy Land in the most amazing way. Join Irvin and Judy Baxter for our upcoming Israel tour. For more information, go to endtime.com or call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463.
If your station only carries the first 30 minutes of End of the Age, go to endtime.com and click the watch button to continue today's broadcast. You can also finish up later by clicking the archive button.
So when we're talking about this end time world government that the Antichrist will eventually usurp authority over, there's been a gentleman that for years now, when any kind of a crisis comes up, you know, you've heard the saying, never waste a good crisis. Anytime something comes up, an economic crisis or anything, ex-Prime Minister Gordon Brown, Britain's ex-Prime Minister, calls for a global government. Hey, the solution to this economic problem is a world government. Well, he actually said recently, British ex-Prime Minister Gordon Brown, He's called for a global government to tackle the coronavirus. And he's urged world leaders to create this temporary form of a world government to tackle the twin medical and economic crisis caused by COVID-19, this pandemic, global pandemic. And he's the former Labor prime minister, and he was at the center of the international efforts to tackle the impact of this near meltdown of the banks in 2008. Many of you remember that. And it said that there was a need for a task force involving world leaders, health experts, and the heads of the international organizations that would have executive powers to coordinate the response rather than each government. And so he said a virtual meeting of the G20 group of developed and developing countries, chaired by Saudi Arabia, would be held on Thursday. But Brown said that it would have been preferable to have also included the UN Security Council, because he's all into world government. And he said this is not something that can be dealt with within one country. It's a global catastrophe. There has to be a coordinated global response. And they do not like Donald Trump's America First policy. So he said, despite Donald Trump's America's First policy, he said that it was possible to get support for an emergency body with executive powers, i.e., whether Donald Trump wants to be involved or not, we need to have the United States on board with this. And he also said that his proposed global task force would fight the crisis on two fronts. There would need to be a coordinated effort to find a vaccine, which what nation isn't looking for a vaccine right now, and to organize production, purchasing, and prevent profiteering. Many countries have announced economic packages in the past 2 weeks, but Brown said that a task force could make sure the efforts of central banks, there you go, talked about the Federal Reserve the other day, and these central banks. There is a central bank of central banks that would coordinate all this. And he said, you know, of course, the United States Central Bank is the Federal Reserve. And he said, but we would need to make sure all of the efforts of the central banks would be coordinated. You understand that the Federal Reserve is kicking in money in this stimulus package, and that they would take steps to prevent record flight of capital and emerging market economies, because these central banks are the ones that control the economies of all these nations. And that they would agree a joint approach to the use of government spending to boost growth. So, I mean, if you control the economy of a nation, you're controlling the nation. There's a select group of individuals that are controlling this nation. And they do not like Donald Trump because he's not an establishment politician. And so that's kind of the back and forth you feel. Why is the news media so against Donald Trump? They're bought and paid for by the establishment. Do your research. You'll see what I'm saying is exactly true. Why does Donald Trump feel like he's against the world? Because the world's against him. The world is pushing for, the international community is pushing for a world governing body. President Trump's against that. And so that's why he feels like he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders. It's because he does. The United States has been the leader of this world government for decades now, since 1945. And now he's trying to pull us out of it. They don't like it. When we're talking about closing borders, the globalists, they don't want to close borders. They want open borders. But this coronavirus, it's not comical, but it's the way it is kind of implementing some things that President Trump's been trying to do. I mean, he's been trying to close our borders. Guess what? Now most of these nations are closing their borders. I just read where Russia's closing its borders. And so he's getting some things done without building a wall. Think about it. Then Gordon Brown said that there had been resistance in 2008 to using the G20 as a vehicle for tackling the financial crisis, but that it should be clear to world leaders that there was no possibility of a go-it-alone, i.e. President Trump. There's no possibility of a going-it-alone approach working. Well, what there is for the United States. I mean, if you say open the borders back up and let everybody keep flying around the world, that's when it's going to become a big mess. So he closed our borders, and he's trying to contain the thing, and he's doing a very, very commendable, good job. And so I would tell him if I could meet him. And so you need to pray for him. You need to pray for all them guys that are making decisions, the doctors, all those guys, Mike Pence. Keep them in your prayer because they're trying to do something that is overwhelming. I mean, imagine if all of this was laid on your shoulders. You would be asking everybody in the country to pray for you. Well, that's what we need to be doing for these guys. The Bible tells us to pray for our leaders. And so on the global government side, though, Brown is saying the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, both organizations designed to help govern the resources of the planet, not Russia, not South America, not America, not Israel, not a nation, but the globe. It's called the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund. They said that there needed an increase in their financial power to cope with the impact of the crisis on low and middle income countries. Moving on. So there you go, folks. So what I'm asking you now, because of this global warming, of this coronavirus pandemic, you've got people, these globalists, that are saying, hey, we need to set up this global government and we get all the central banks of the world unified, and we'll make sure that we control all this stuff and get it all under wraps. But we know that that's probably not going to be the thing that leads us into a one world governing body. This thing is going to come, when you talk about flattening a curve, well, this thing is going to come to an end. I'm just going to tell you. However, World War III, the Sixth Trumpet War, that's way past where we're at now. It's going to be, it will make this look like a daycare, what's going on right now. Well, imagine one third of the world's population did. And imagine the global cry for a world government after that. You think the globalists are screaming now? Imagine what will happen after World War III. And I don't even like to talk about it, but it's prophecy. We know it's coming. And you talk about them rationing food and this, that, and the other. I mean, imagine what it's going to be like after that. And so we need to think about these things because there's a world government coming. The United Nations doesn't have enforcement methods. It doesn't have the teeth that they want. But after World War III, the nations of the world will yield up their sovereignty and willingly give this world governing body teeth and enforcement methods in a cry for a global cry for no more world wars. And it's not going to be a good thing. And that's why you better have your hands in the Lord's hand, because without that, there's not going to be much hope. There really isn't. There's no hope in money, and there's no hope in your education, and those things are good, but at the end of the day, that's not going to, you need to have the right mindset going through all this stuff. You better make sure you're in tune with the Lord. And if you don't know how to do that, I mean, we can help you with that. End Time Ministries can. The Jerusalem Prophecy College, a lot of different ways to take you from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity. That's the most important thing. I mean, if I didn't talk about any of this news the rest of the day, that's the most important thing we can talk about, is preparing you for eternity and to meet the Lord and these times that are coming and getting in tune with Him and hearing His voice and having Him speak to you in prayer and through His Word and different things. That's the most important thing that we do here at End Time Ministries. And so, you know, I mean, that's probably need to spend some programs on that here before very long, because that's by far the most important thing. Going through the times just ahead, not knowing the Lord would be, that would just be the worst travesty. You can't do that. I mean, even though, you know, I mean, Irvin Baxter, myself, all of us here at End Time, I can go through the news and show you how it lines up with prophecy and all this other stuff. That's easy to do. But what's most important to us is to make sure that you're ready to meet the Lord. when should the Lord call you home tonight? I mean, you know, the obituaries are full every day, folks. And none of us are promised tomorrow. So it's of utmost importance that beyond all, you know, a lot of people want to figure out every prophecy, and I do too. I love it. It's the Word of God. I live for this stuff. But at the end of the day, if you never understand one prophecy, but when the trumpet sounds, your feet leave the ground, you are a smashing success in this life. And so that's really the most important thing. And, you know, the reason that we do all of this is because we want you guys to know that how close to the end we are, what to look for, how to prepare yourself. In all of my Bible studies, I've did hundreds and hundreds of Bible studies over the years. I make sure that the group knows in this Bible study why I'm going to prepare you mentally and physically for the times just ahead and spiritually for eternity. The best thing I could do to them people is not bring them here and feed them pizza and whatever else goes on or, you know, I mean, have a good time. I love doing all that. But if everybody in that Bible study is prepared mentally and physically for the times just ahead and then spiritually for eternity, should they meet their Maker at any time between now and the rapture or, you know, then if I've prepared them like that, that Bible study was a smashing success. And so that's our goal when we get on the radio. We have an ulterior motive, and that is to prepare you for the times just ahead and for eternity. So, very, very important. The reason we go through all this news all the time and keep up on all of it is to show us all, yes, we are in the end time, to build your faith in the Word of God, saying, look, these prophecies were written 2,000 to 2,500 years ago. Look how they're coming to pass right now. We are living in the end time. You can't deny it unless you're just close your eyes and saying, I don't want to see it. That's the only way you can deny we're not living in the end time. And so that's why we do this every day. We want to make sure you know we're preparing each other. You praying for us, us praying for you. And we're moving towards our the betterment of the relationship with the Lord. That's the most important thing. And so you can see, and this helps you build your faith in the Word of God. The Word of God's the only book that has the words to eternal life. There is no other book. There's no self-help book. There's no make yourself better, you know, hip, hip, hooray for number one. No, it's the Bible. The Bible is our roadmap on how to get to heaven. That's what we're following. And prophecy's about 30% of that. And that's designed. Jesus said, I tell you these things before they come to pass, that when they come to pass, you might believe. Prophecy builds your faith in the only book with the saving plan in it. And that's what we're here every day to help you guys with.
Does the book of Revelation frighten you? Do its symbols confuse you? For centuries, the book of Revelation has been misunderstood and misinterpreted. In Revelation, The Unveiling of Jesus Christ, Volume 1, Irvin Baxter unlocks the mystery of the book of Revelation with in-depth analysis and commentary like you've never heard before. This 10-part definitive DVD series and 268-page comprehensive commentary book covers the first 12 chapters of the Book of Revelation, featuring on-location photography, classic artwork, and symbolic illustrations. You'll walk away with complete understanding and peace about the events happening during the final years on Earth. These comprehensive study tools, available for $299, will deepen your biblical understanding as you dig into the original intent of the book, answering the mysterious prophecies and symbols of the book of Revelation. Don't miss this special offer. Call now, 1-800-END-TIME, or go to endtime.com to order. Call or go online now to get this comprehensive Bible study.
So, I wanted to give you just a real quick update of where we're at in Israel. The peace agreement. You know that they're trying to establish a government now. And it looked like, I read an article just before I came on here, that it might be postponed until next week before they can get the thing kind of finalized. But you understand where the peace agreement comes into this. Both Gantz and Netanyahu are willing to go ahead and implement the peace plan. Netanyahu wants to just go full bore, him and Trump, and just get the thing done. But Gantz is a little more reserved in saying, look, I want to do that, implement the Trump peace plan, but I want to make sure all the nations in the region are on board and that we don't ruin ties with all of them and the international community as well. So there's an article out today that said that Benny Gantz may block the settlement annexation by the new government. And this is where him and Netanyahu are going to butt heads. It says Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu promised to apply Israel law to all Israeli towns in the West Bank in the framework of President Trump's peace plan. Then blue and white leader Benny Gantz opposed the unilateral settlement annexation. Sources that are close to him said on Sunday, and as negotiations continued for a unity government. Of course, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu promised to apply Israeli law to all Israeli towns and West Bank in the framework, like I said, of the Trump's peace plan, which allows the annexation beyond just the settlements to 30% of the West Bank and the other 70%, if they come to the negotiating table, would become a demilitarized Palestinian state. Well, Gantz met with President Trump, you remember, back in Washington in January, the day before the plan was presented to the public, and he said, look, I'll work towards implementing it from within a stable, functioning Israel government, but in tandem with other countries in our region and with the international community. Several days later, the blue and white, which he led at the time, it's now broken apart, said that it would bring the entirety of the Trump plan to a vote in the Knesset. So that's different than Netanyahu. Netanyahu is ready to go straight forward. The Jerusalem Post just reported that Likud, Netanyahu's party, is pushing for annexation, even in coalition with the blue and white labor. Likud demanded, this is again Netanyahu's party, he demanded in a coalition negotiations that the members of the Knesset be allowed to vote according to their conscience in any vote about settlement annexation. And a minister in the party confirmed that on Monday. He's not saying, let's consult all the nations in the region and the international community like Gantz is saying. He's saying, members of Knesset, let's vote on this thing and get the thing done. And if such an agreement is reached, the Knesset would likely be able to approve applying Israeli law to settlements in the West Bank, even if the blue and white and labor who oppose unilateral annexation are in a coalition. So the fact of the matter is that they're at loggerheads right now on this issue, and it's a sticking point. So we talked about them forming a government last week. But I said, these things can change on a dime. Has it changed? At this point, no. There's just some sticking points that they can't agree on. And now, of course, it's been postponed until next week. I think Netanyahu is in a self-quarantine because one of his aides has been tested positive for coronavirus. So now that's kind of put him in a conundrum where, hey, now I got to self-quarantine myself so I don't get the whole Knesset. Everybody in that, you know, affected, and everybody's supposed to rule. So it's really become a mess. But the fact of the matter is there are things that are sticking point. One of the big sticking points is how they would implement the peace plan with President Trump's peace plan. So I have to keep you up to date on that. That's all I know as of walking in through here on the radio. I was in a radio interview at 1 o'clock with somebody down a radio station in Austin, and then I walked in here at 3. That's all I know up until 1 o'clock. And so I'll keep on top of it and let you know. I'll keep you guys updated on what's going on in Israel. Now, let me switch gears on you again. I told you I had a lot of different things to cover here. You understand the Real ID is our nation's effort towards a national ID. And we've talked about it. Yes, it's okay to take the Real ID at this point. It's not the mark of the beast. Yes, you can go ahead and take one. But a lot of people have said, what about the deadline? What's going to happen? Well, the deadline has just been pushed back because of this coronavirus deal, the pandemic. The new deadline is October 1, 2021. It's been pushed back a year from the October 1, 2020 deadline because they didn't want to everybody to go to rush, you know, the Department of Motor Vehicles trying to get their new driver's license right before the deadline when we're all going through this and we're trying to self-quarantine, stuff like that. We're quarantining our homes. So it's been pushed back for 1 year. So October 1 this year, hopefully all this stuff will be cleared up. You'll be allowed to get on a plane with your regular driver's license. But before next year, October 1, 2021, that's the new deadline. Now, let me switch gears on you again, because there's so much happening in the news. I mean, I could keep on doing this for hours, but the Christian News Network, I wanted you guys to hear about this, because this is some good news. The Christian News Network, they reported that the U.S. Department of Justice, think Bill Barr, agrees that it is not fair for males who identify as female to compete in girls' sports. You say, what in the world is End Time doing talking about this? Well, the fact of the matter is that it's our society. What kind of nation do we want to live in? And the Bible says in Luke that these the LGBT lifestyles, i.e. in this case, the T, transgender, it's going to be increased. People are going to be doing just what they feel, that regardless of what the Bible says. It's just, hey, I'll do what feels good, whatever I want to do, I'll do. Doesn't matter what God thinks, doesn't matter what the Bible says, I'm going to do what I want. Well, we don't want that here in America. We want men to be men. We want women to be women. That's what God created. We want them to get married, procreate. That's how the world goes. That's how God designed it. But when Satan heard that, he's been trying to pollute it the whole way through. So, the U.S. Department of Justice has filed a statement in interest in a case involving three female high school track athletes who sued the Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference, the CIAC, and other entities over a policy that allowed students to compete in sports in accordance with their stated gender identity. If a 16, 17, 18-year-old young man suddenly identifies as a woman, then he should be able, they say, he should be able to compete with them in wrestling, track, whatever. And what's happened is that a couple boys did that, and they've been blowing away these girls on the track meets, 100-yard dash and all this other stuff. They've been going in there and winning, which is normal. And it's nothing against females or none of that. It's just that's the way God made it. The bone structure and this, that, and the other is different than that of a female. And so the Department of Justice noted that one of the purposes of Title IX of the Education Amendments in 1972 was to ensure that girls could have an equal athletic opportunity, and schools have long separated boys and girls teams to provide fairness in sports due to their psychological differences and their physical differences. I mean, imagine somebody like somebody that plays in the WNBA coming in and playing against Shaq. There's no way. It's not even a... that she might be really good at basketball, but Shaq is bigger than anybody I know of. I mean, come on, nobody... come on. You guys know what I'm talking about. It's not fair. Imagine Shaq going and playing in the WNBA. He's going to dominate. He dominated the NBA. He's going to dominate the WNBA. So now you see what's going on here. They had some guys go over who decided they were females, and they went over and they were participating in track, and they're participating in wrestling and weightlifting and all kinds of stuff. So following the athletic conference's decision to provide transgender student athletes with equal opportunities to participate in the CIAC athletic programs, consistent with their gender identity, two biological boys, they go by the names of Andrea Yearwood and Terry Miller, they were permitted to join the girls' track team at their school and compete as females, moving on to the New England regionals. Well, the religious groups, and what happened is the girls sued the CIAC and saying, hey, it's not going to work. You know, these girls were wanting to get scholarships and all these different things. And, you know, I think it was their senior year, and this was it for them. And they let these transgender boys come in there and kept them from winning these races. So they sued them. Well, The Department of Justice agreed with them. So the religious liberties group, Alliance Defending Freedom, ADF, which is representing the girls in court, concurred with the Department of Justice statement of interest. And they said, they made a statement, and they said, allowing males to compete in the female category isn't fair, and it destroys girls' athletic opportunities. Males will always have inherent physical advantages over comparably talented and trained girls, and that's the reason that we have girls' sports in the first place. And male's belief about his gender, a male's belief about his gender, doesn't eliminate those advantages. So there you have it. You've got something that the Department of Justice is getting right. And that, why not? If you're a boy, compete in a boy's sports. If you're a girl, compete in a girl's sports. That's only fair. And so you say, well, they're taking pills and this, that, and the other. If you got to take pills, I mean, what's the point? So let's just be honest here. This is something good that's happening. And I wanted to bring it before you because there's a loud voice on the other side that's saying they should be able to compete and this, that, and the other. And it's really just not right. It's not right in nature. None of it's right. And so it's what kind of country do we want to live in? We want to get back to. Who knows but what this coronavirus might not be a pandemic, a plague, or a pestilence put on our world to kind of get us pointed back in God's direction. And, you know, in good times, people kind of tend to say, oh, you know, I'm doing all right on my own. Things get bad, people turn their eyes towards the Lord. There are people having prayer meetings in their home that probably haven't done it for 20 years. So you got to think about it. Now, I got another article I wanted to go over. I don't know if I'm going to have time to do that. I'm about out of time. Probably going to have to hit you with that one tomorrow. It's about earthquake in diverse places. A lot of questions and things going on. Tomorrow I'm going to do a Q&A session. A lot of people have questions on things going, what's going on right now? What's this prophecy mean? How does it pertain to this? I have a ton of those questions. I'm going to be answering them on tomorrow's program, unless something just comes along that blows us out of the water, which is happening almost daily now. But I got a huge Q&A session put together. We'll be doing that on tomorrow's program. A lot of people glean from that. I glean from putting them together. And there's a lot of people that had a lot of really good questions about what's going on right now. So I think I'll hold this article possibly for the first part of tomorrow's program, and then we'll go through that Q&A session. I think you'll really enjoy it. It's very informative. And so I do thank you for joining me today. I ask God to God bless you guys all the time because I know that we're all going through this coronavirus thing together. And I prayed for all of you. I said, Lord, touch our audience that listens to us. Help us all to get through this together and to bless your name somehow along the way. In Jesus' name.
This has been End of the Age, brought to you by the faithful partners of End Time Ministries. If you're not currently a partner with End Time Ministries, or if you would like more information, we invite you to call us at 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463, or visit us online at endtime.com.